For those that may not know who you are and what you do, if you want to just do a quick intro.
Yeah, my name is Tara Kurtz, and I own a couple e-commerce businesses. I own a health coaching business. I also own London Grace Collection, which is a women's contemporary fashion line. And I also, I'm Miss Bikini South Texas Fitness. So I actually am leaving to go to Miami for Miami Swim Week, and I am, it is a pageant style. So I am going for Miss Bikini Fitness in Miami. So.
Awesome. Oh, that's exciting. How did your interest in this space develop? Like, when did you get interested in fitness in general?
When I got interested in fitness and actually health, I kind of combined it. So I used to be in the corporate world. I used to be in oil and gas. I was an executive in sales, did not care about health, nutrition, or anything like that. Definitely lived my best life. And so I got pregnant with my son, and it was not a very great experience because I didn't really take care of myself before that. So got pregnant, found out after I had my son, I had an autoimmune disease. Well, I was in the hospital for a while, isolated from him. And I knew that since just having a baby, I was like, well, I can't be sick. I just had a baby. Like, I have, now I have to take care of somebody else. So spent a couple weeks in the hospital. They figured out what was wrong with me. And, you know, they were like, you can live off a disability. You're going to have to do this and take this medication, all this. And I kind of was just like, I don't want that for my son. Like, right. I don't want him to have a parent that is sick and unwell. So I was like, just, it just struck to me like that night. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to study holistic nutrition. I just got out of oil and gas because it just tanked. I just had a baby, and what I was doing before, I couldn't really have a family. My family values took over that. So I was like, I'm just going to focus on my health and this baby. And so I started studying holistic nutrition and started getting better. It was definitely like a journey. So I incorporated obviously fitness into it, started working out, and I decided to, at 6 months postpartum, I competed in my first MPC show, and I had abs for the first time after having a baby, and I had a C-section, which any person, woman that has had a C-section knows it's a lot harder because you just did have your abs cut open. Right. So it was a pretty big deal because it was a lot of discipline, a lot of sacrifice, a lot of late nights, especially with a brand new baby. And I never felt so great though. Like, I felt like I was on top of the world with my health and just getting in my workouts and everything. And that's when I kind of started doing YouTube. YouTube kind of helped me be accountable for everything that I was doing. So,
but would you say YouTube also played a different role in terms of helping you understand how these things work? You know, like, where did you essentially go for information when you first got interested?
So I actually did study it. So I studied Institute of Integrative Nutrition.
Okay.
So I did study it. I got some of my information and stuff from YouTube, but since I had so much free time on my hands, because I was in corporate world, I was an executive in a very big company. And so you take a girl that was so high up and give her like, oh, here's your new life. It's like, I definitely was like, you know what? If I'm going to dive into it, I'm going to dive into it. So
that's awesome. No, that's actually cool. And the only reason I brought that up is to highlight, I guess, the accessibility in terms of the information that people can access and kind of learn on their own.
Yeah.
But if we could talk about the parallels, right? Like, you studied it.
Correct.
How was that different from information that was available online?
That is such a great point that you make, because I do actually cover that in my how to start your online coaching business. I actually talk about the school and how much you need to spend and everything, because a lot of the information truly was online. I think why you should have some type of like structure or outline is because sometimes you don't know what you don't know, right? So some people just don't know where to start. So if you're not very resourceful, don't know where to start, definitely like school and everything like that, investing into that is something you should consider. However, all the information that I did learn was online. It's just sometimes it's hard to filter out the BS through what's actual true.
No, that's 100% factual. That's one of my earlier episodes as well. just learning how to filter through all the bullshit. But it is, structured learning makes it a little bit easier. But let's move on within that journey. So you compete, you essentially develop a new way of living. Correct. But what is the mental component that came with that? Because you already had to be mentally kind of structured in a way to work a corporate job and to get to that point. But in terms of the fitness aspect, you know, what did it bring to the table mentally?
It showed me I had a lot more discipline than I thought I had. Mm-hmm. And it created a more intense structure and just a healthier lifestyle. And most of the time you kind of like doubt yourself if you can stick to it, considering all your like social events, your friends, you know, the peer pressure of, you know, enjoying your time and all of that. But you truly do learn how to balance it and when to indulge. So I definitely learned my discipline is actually pretty on point during that time.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see that. I think there are also other ways to become disciplined. But there is a certain level of discipline you have to have to essentially function, you know, to do your work.
Correct.
That's what I want to highlight. What was different? Meaning when you were working the corporate job, you had a structure around you, right? You had to go at a certain time. But when you're not working a corporate job, you have no structure.
Very
true. How was it different? Like, how did you...
It's completely different.
Essentially induce that structure upon yourself through fitness?
The discipline that I learned is that when I was in corporate, I had a boss. I had somebody that created the process and created the goal for me, right? So I just had to get to the goal. Well, when I became an executive, I could create my process in order to accomplish that goal.
Right.
However, now being a business owner and owning these businesses, I have to be the person who creates the process. I have to create the goal and how it's going to happen. So if I don't do it, nobody else is going to do it for me. And me going through that prep, that first original prep, showed me that I could implement a healthy discipline schedule. I just had to adjust to my lifestyle on how I was going to get those things done.
Right. And you have to make sacrifices, right?
Absolutely. All the
you
time.
Have to, like, certain things you can't do anymore.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you want to speak on some of those?
Just random vacations, yeah. Wanting to just leave and go somewhere and be like, you know what? I just want to jump on a plane and go to Mexico. And that, I think maybe because I have so many irons in the stove right now, or however that little saying goes.
That makes sense.
I can't just leave because there's so much going on now and so many people rely on me, like moving parts.
I've talked to a lot of people that are in that have their own thing going on at a very high level, and they all say the same thing. Like, they attribute their success to essentially having a team around them.
Correct.
And so having the right people around you is definitely valuable, and it allows you to stay
it's
on
essential.
The beach. Yeah. But let's get into figuring out, when you first start out, you know, you can't bring people on board.
Correct.
Don't have the funds, you don't have the infrastructure to bring people on board. How do you manage it then? You know, what are some things you had to do to get it started?
That's a great question for me, because when I first started London Grace Collection, which is my women's contemporary clothing line, and I was the only one that was running it by myself, my own funds, and it was a very heated mess. Now, the business was extremely successful, especially on launch day, because we were, according to Shopify's analytics, that I was in the top 3% of stores that launched that day, right? That's huge.
Oh, that's awesome.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But me going into something, having no idea what I was doing it by myself, just trying to figure things out, it was very stressful. And on top of that, though, too, my personal life was super messy during that time as well. So that didn't really help. But it was a nice little escape to go into my business and escape and kind of like build that. So that was doing really well. And I actually had to leave. I had to shut down London Grace for a little bit, too, because I needed to. It was growing really fast. And it was doing really well, but I had some personal issues that I needed to tend to. Just comes back to my core values, who I am. And so London Grace was like shut down for 6 months. And that right there was one of the goals that I had set when I wanted to relaunch it, was building the right team.
Mm-hmm.
Because I knew there are certain things that I could do, but if I had somebody else that specialized in that, it would utilize everything that I was doing so much more, and I could focus on something else and get something else moving.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's one of those realizations that kind of, when you get it, it just makes sense.
Absolutely.
Like, why have I been doing this by myself?
Exactly.
I've been struggling to figure this out?
There's no reason to.
Yeah, exactly. And you have to identify what you're good at and just triple down on that, right? Like, but it's hard though when you first start out and you can't hire people. Like, you don't have the money.
You don't have the money to do it.
I think at that point it's important to, and maybe you could share some strategies from your end, but I think at that point it's important to just have like, just kind of schedule, right? Like, have a time for everything, or schedule time for everything, so you're not neglecting certain aspects that you can't outsource as of yet. But what are some strategies from your end? Meaning, like, when you first started, you know, how did you make sure everything got done?
I did it myself. That's terrible advice. I never recommend that to anybody. But when I first started, I'm telling you, it was a heated mess. I had no social life. None of my friends saw me for 6 months. And
that's exactly what I wanted to get at.
I thank them so much for loving me unconditionally, because I also, too, in order to start London Grace, I needed the funds to it. I didn't have a rich uncle. I had to work for. And so I actually went to Mercedes-Benz and for 6 months. And I went there having a goal in my head. I was like, I'm going to go back to work and work for somebody to get the funds for this business. Because if I go to a bank and I get the loan and it fails, then I have to pay interest on that. And I was like, I was like, I'm already doing what I can do with my other incomes on paying my bills, taking care of my son, taking care of my puppy. So let's get a third job and buy a business. So I went to Mercedes-Benz and I was in sales because it was the fastest, easiest way for me to just go in, get money, get out. And a lot of people say that's really not the way to do it, but you know, do what you need to do, right?
Yeah.
So I was there for 6 months. I was still shooting for Buff Bunny Collection. I was still a mom, and with me and his father are no longer together. But during that time, I still was obligated to go. If something happened, like with my son, if he was sick or something, I would still be obligated to go get him from school and take care of him, all that. So, but I literally disappeared for 6 months and I went to work. I put my head down and I just worked. And I got out, and then at night I would have dinner with my family. And then after that, my son would go to bed and I would just work. And I'd work through the whole night, and then I'd wake up the next morning. And if anybody knows the car business, the hours are not short.
Mm-hmm.
They have one of the longest hours in all industries. So it definitely like took a toll on my relationships. Like, but all the people, all of my friends knew why I was doing it, my family and everybody. So it all worked out in the end. So you definitely like find out who your friends are when you have a vision and have a dream and you put your mind to it. And when you have to be like, sorry, not right now, but just wait, you know?
Absolutely. And there's another realization that people have. They realize that life isn't going anywhere. Like, you could disappear for 6 months, come back, and there
are still
there's still
same.
Parties.
Yeah.
There's still social gatherings, or you can still have fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, that FOMO element kicks in, where you feel like, oh, I can't be excluded, because then I'm going to lose, you know, or I'm going to be excluded from the friend group. Like, these people aren't going to care about me. I've realized they just don't care anyway. Like, you're just an addition to their life. And obviously, some people have different relationships. Like, you know, you have genuine connections.
Mm-hmm.
People give a fuck about you. But on some level, I think a lot of times this FOMO element is a deterrent for a lot of people's growth. And they feel like they're missing out. And they want to be everywhere. And I don't know. It's just interesting to me.
No, you're completely correct on that. And the thing is, yeah, people can have that FOMO of missing out and everything. But from my perspective and from my life is, you know, when you do miss out on things and you let your people know, hey, like, I am overly booked, got a lot of tables going right now. But the real people that you want to keep in your life are the ones that are going to cheer you on even during your like disappearing mm-hmm. days. And then what's so nice is that when you reappear, who do you want to celebrate with? Those people that had your back when they were like, I don't know, I haven't seen her. Where is she at? Mm-hmm. You know, but they still showed up. Now, those kind of people I've definitely kept in my, like, they have a soft spot in my heart.
Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to find genuine people anyway.
No, absolutely.
But yeah, no, it's just, it all plays out. Like, time just exposes everybody.
I've definitely lost relationships too because I had to put work first. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you think people are there for you. And, you know, you have to say no to certain things. And, or even, you know, they want to just try to like chime in and try to tell you what to do with your business and everything like that. But that's where, you know, you have to put your boundaries up. And, you know, those people that understand and respect you will definitely still be in your corner that are worth having.
Absolutely. And it's okay to lose people. It's okay to lose friends.
Because then you can bring in more people.
Exactly. Like, that's another misconception or something I've observed. People kind of get caught up in a circle of friends and they don't realize they can just expand their network. Like, they can meet new people and just, you know, connect with people that are like-minded, I guess.
Absolutely.
Not just be stuck in a circle so they don't have to be isolated, because through isolation is when you grow. Like, being by yourself, even if you have no friends, like, you leave all the people that don't serve you behind. You're isolated. No one wants to do that. It's hard.
It's actually, even when you are, you know, doing what you need to do for yourself and you are building a business, you do, and once you actually hit, like, success, you actually start feeling more isolated. It's weird, right?
Like, no, it's really fucked up.
Yeah, it is. But at the same time, you do grow more and you do appreciate those relationships that are just constant in your life. And, you know, if you don't call them every day, but you still like manage to, you know, be there for each other's special moments when you can, that's very nice. So,
no, for sure. Let's touch on the isolation aspect a little more. The loneliness associated with being on the pursuit of something or finding success, and just kind of having different priorities.
Yeah.
You know, have you had an experience with
Absolutely.
That? Where you've just felt alone and felt like no one understands you because you're on the pursuit of something?
No, absolutely. Especially when your purpose, when you understand your purpose and who you are and you understand your moral fiber, then you want to always allow people with that same like-minded, just basically like code of conduct of how they operate and everything. You want to be around those people. And when you realize that your guys' journey isn't really going to be on the same path and you guys are kind of like veering off, it does kind of suck, you know, going through that and everything. But we all go through our growing pains, you know?
Yeah.
And you just kind of have to adjust with those growing pains of, you know, like it's kind of like we're all like little trees, you know? Like, we're all like, we have our branches and we're all growing and we're all in different stages of life constantly.
No, I feel you. And sometimes someone's growing in a different direction.
Absolutely. And you have to respect that, though, too.
Yeah.
And, like, people, I've felt people actually grow apart from me. And I do. I definitely respect that. As long as they're accomplishing their goals and doing well for themselves, heck yeah, dude. I'm always in their corner cheering. If they call me randomly a year later and, like, hey, like, I have something, like, would you come and support me? I'll be, like, done. Like, if I can, like, adjust it in my schedule, done.
No, that's a beautiful attitude. You mentioned you did sales. Is that something that comes naturally to you? The ability to kind of communicate and almost in line with an extroverted personality?
That's what's crazy is most people think I'm an extrovert. I consider myself more of an introvert. I have to like prep myself before I get in front of people. And I'm very critical of myself, not others. It's so crazy. I can, you know, find all the good in other people. But when it comes to sales, I've always naturally been good at sales. others have said, but I don't think it comes down to sales. I think it comes down to people, because I'm genuinely interested in what people like, and I always am trying to accommodate them and make them feel comfortable. So I feel like it has always just naturally just been a skill of mine.
No, that's awesome. And I can definitely relate. I'm very much introverted, and I've had to kind of actively learn how to, like, you know, learn how to communicate in a way that doesn't, that isn't like primarily driven by my own self-interest or surrounding my own self-image in a way. But I think the sales part is, having the ability to sell is extremely valuable, especially in this day and age. And if we could break down some of the elements that you think comprise a successful sort of ability to sell.
Yeah, so there's definitely like processes out there. My process has always been to the individual. It's always relatively the same. I always try to first find common ground with a person and just make the environment more comfortable and not really try to, I guess I don't really sell. I feel like I more just try to understand that person and try to see what they, what their problem is, so then I can fix it. Because me, I'm a solution-oriented person. And so me being that, having that lens in life, I always want to find a solution for every problem there is, you know? So that, I feel like, I feel like it's, there's not really like a process with me as a whole. It really depends on the individual.
No, I mean, like you said, you're genuinely interested, right? And that, that definitely helps, as opposed to surface level sort of selfish conversations or intentions behind certain things. But what do you think attributes to that? Like, what do you think has contributed to that way of thinking?
Of me thinking, like,
just having a genuine approach.
A genuine approach?
As opposed to
a selfish approach. I think it's more of a character thing, more than a skill. I never really tried to develop that. It just was always like instincts to me. Because I do actually like people. I know some people will be like, I don't like people. I genuinely like people. I love knowing who they are, what they want out of life, and just everything that they enjoy. And like seeing other people happy, that like lights me up. That's actually why like I started doing London, like I started London Grace Collection. It's because when I get to watch women like just light up putting on a new outfit, or even during like health coaching, when I was watching those transformations with those women and they just light up and they glow, like that fuels my soul. Like being able to give somebody that feeling of happiness and just feeling good about themselves, man, that lights my fire.
Yeah.
So I think honestly it really is just who I am as a person.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. Have you ever had any mental health problems, or have you struggled with depression and stuff like that?
Absolutely.
Because I think that's the source of the selfless nature of giving or wanting to give.
Yeah, I could see that. I could definitely see that. And I actually have. I have. I don't really talk too much about it because my stuff is very heavy. It's very, very heavy.
No, that's okay.
So, but I just don't like putting that on people. I don't like, you know, because I did. I dealt with depression. I dealt with, and the whole list of it. So, but I did at a very early age. So. Fortunately, I was able to get like a lot of help from that, and I was in like 10 years of therapy, you know, fight my depression and all of that. So, because it got really bad. But I think you're onto something with it stemming from that, because I have an issue. Like if I see somebody and they don't look happy, or if they're not so vibrant as normal, then I definitely like try to somehow like bring that spark back out into them. Because I understand that we all do struggle. And it, for me, I don't personally like to be somebody struggle and or watch people struggle. That's another reason why, you know, I did decide to own my own businesses, because I genuinely love taking care of other people. I love having this life where if my son needs me, I'm there. or, you know, if there's an event for like my son, like I'm there, you know. Me and my ex, we co-parent really well. He has a full-time job where he can't leave like I can, but it feels good to be like, hey, it's okay, do what you need to do, I got it, it's fine. So that definitely feels good.
Yeah, absolutely. Can't relate to that aspect, but in terms of the mental health stuff, I think it's just, it's kind of very interesting to me. I mean, human behavior in general is very interesting, but
I agree.
Just watching people go through stuff and emerge on the other side, or and the opposite, like watching people go through stuff and not be able to emerge and kind of get stuck in that and not believe that it's possible. And I talked about this on a podcast I did 2 days ago on somebody else's show. Just going through a phase, a 2-year phase of being severely depressed and already feeling isolated, anxious, introverted, all of those things combined, you start alienating. You start being by yourself, and that's when you go, you know, further down the rabbit hole of depression.
Very true.
And I just want to say this, that, you know, it's possible to emerge on the other side, and I think it takes a lot of people. I think it takes having people around, whether it's through therapy, whether it's through interactions. There's tremendous value in coming out of your head. Creating a support group. Just getting out of your own head, or creating something, channeling that energy towards something.
Absolutely.
And that's what I wanted to touch on is, you know, has that been a contributing factor? But obviously we don't have to get into that if you're not comfortable.
No, we can, because I feel like I should talk about it a little bit more, just to kind of let people know, like, not everything's bright cherry sunshines and all that. So when I was 11 years old, I unfortunately went through all types of abuse that you could, it's all of it. So I was very depressed, and I quit eating at school, and just quit eating, not because I like wanted to be skinnier. It's just, I had no control over my life. It was a very unhealthy environment that I lived in. And I one day decided to just swallow all the pills that I could find in the house, because I had no control over my life, but I could control that. So I was severely depressed, and I flatlined, and I left my biological parents in an ambulance, and I ended up in the emergency room, and fortunately, I got into foster care, and so I was obviously taken away from my biological family. So I was in the hospital for 2 weeks. No family member wanted me, because all the stuff that was happening, they didn't know how to handle the whole situation. I had a lot of things that happened to me, and I mean, like, how do you handle all that, you know? Right. It was pretty intense, you know, all that types of abuse at almost a preteen age. So I was in the hospital for about 2 weeks, and, you know, my doctors had a lot of confidence in me, and that was really nice, you know. They were like, you deserve to be with a family in a good, happy environment. You're a good kid. You know, that positive speech with coming from such a negative environment was very helpful. Yep. So I was depressed, so they had me on Prozac. But I got into foster care, and they put me with who is now my forever mom and my best friend, and I call her every day, even to this day now. She's my mom. So there is so much hope, because now most people, they would never think that I grew up in foster care or grew up in such an abusive and toxic environment.
Oh, could have never imagined that based on your energy and, you know, all the things that you're doing and the positive outlook. And that's, it's so interesting, not interesting in a positive way, but it's just interesting that people go through so much and they're still able to maintain a positive outlook.
You have to, because why would you want to sit into like this negative and toxic environment?
Yeah.
Once I had my son, I was like, now I can control the environment he's in, and I'm going to do that. So that also is what helped me, like, on my entrepreneurial spirit and everything, and be able to take care of everybody and just set everybody up correctly. And it definitely stems from that.
It also takes mental fortitude to kind of not lose control in situations, right?
Yeah.
Where it's in my opinion, it's an active, like, constant battle.
Yeah.
It's never something you cure and are free from.
Very true.
But what are some things that you constantly do to maintain composure and not fall victim to that again?
So that's a great question, because mental health issues do run in my biological family. And so I know that I have to keep myself in check. I constantly am very self-aware. I'm very critical on my character. And if I'm acting with compassion, and I also am learning to have more compassion for myself and patience. Mm-hmm. Having patience is a huge thing that I learned in the past year, that I will have bad days. I will have those days where I'm not so happy. So that's kind of when I do isolate myself. Mm-hmm. And I've had people say, Tara, you're always just so nice and so happy. Like, when are you ever in a bad mood? And I was just honest. I try to stay away from other people during that time, because for me, I don't feel like it's okay for me to deflect on others. And that's normally really what good. It is when people are upset, yeah. They're deflecting. And so mm-hmm. I try to kind of stay away. I just regroup. I let myself be sad, and I allow my emotions to come in, because we're humans and we are entitled to our emotions, and our emotions yeah. also will feel us. So I kind of just rechannel my emotions and just remember, you know, I need those emotions in order to be successful in life, because without those emotions, like, it would not fuel me to where I am today, because mm-hmm. I was able to see the really bad in life. And then I also got to see the really good in life.
Yeah, it gives you perspective.
And I'll choose good every single day. So yeah. I go back and I address that.
That's awesome. No, that's really cool. I wanted to touch on kind of the self-awareness aspect. You know, you said you're very critical of yourself.
Absolutely.
It is valuable to be critical, but it also can serve you in the negative way, especially if you're already emotionally fragile. What are some values of self-awareness and being sort of, would you say you're hypercritical or just like a nice balanced? Okay.
Perfect. Oh no, I'm hypercritical.
Yeah, no, same here. But what are some values that come from that in your experience?
I feel like most entrepreneurs are very hypercritical of themselves. Mm-hmm. I feel like it has built me to where I am now. I'm never truly satisfied. I have a lot of people, you know, saying, congratulations, like, you're successful, or they, you know, they say all this. And in the back of my head, I don't feel like I'm successful, because mm-hmm. I feel like there's so much more for me to do. And, because I do have this issue of being hypercritical, I recently, you know, have allowed somebody to oversee my analytics over my business and everything like that, all those numbers. And that was one of the best decisions I have done, because me, I would be like, you're not good enough. This isn't good enough. Like, how can you do better? You need to do mm-hmm. more. But now I have this person who's looking at the numbers, looking at the analytics. She's like, you already beat last month in total net sales. Like, oh my gosh. And like, it's not even the 15th yet. And you have somebody with a different perspective that's not you looking at your things. And you're like, okay, you know what? You're right. You're right. And so I feel like when you are hypercritical, like I am now delegating other jobs, because you know, it's just, but am I still going to like be hypercritical of myself? Yes. Because
of course.
It has its pros and its cons, but I feel like the pros like outweigh the cons a little bit more.
I think so too. I think that's what pushes you to keep getting better.
Absolutely.
And you're not fooling yourself, right? You're not letting ego kind of cloud the judgment.
Yeah. No.
Because when that happens, you're not growing. When that happens, you're lying to yourself. And you know, we all fall victim to that. I do that every day. It's an active process, but not allowing it to surface is what separates people that actually make progress versus the ones that pretend to make progress. And there's no judgment. Like, I haven't perfected that myself, but it's just something to be aware of, right? Like, the Absolutely. Value in being critical and not lying to yourself, essentially.
And that's also, too, where the patience key aspect comes into it. Mm-hmm. You have to have patience with yourself, especially when you understand something like that. And you just have to be like, you know what? Give yourself some grace.
Yeah, No, patience is key. But at some point, it could be conflated with like complacency.
And I could see that. But if you're not aware of that, if you're not aware that you're like hyper, like self-critical, I feel like that's when it becomes a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Once you're aware of something, you're aware of your skills and, you know, the things that you need to work on, then that awareness creates, you know, your tasks and your process of how to maybe like turn that into a skill.
No,
or even like with my situation, I just delegated a job to somebody else because they can handle it better than I can. So in a positive manner.
No, absolutely. I 100% agree. I appreciate you being here.
Yeah.
Please let the people know where they can find you, where they can find the website and anything else.
Of course. Yeah. So my website is my full name. It is TaraMarieKurtz.com. And thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you want to shout out the Instagram or anything?
Oh, everything's TaraMarieKurtz.
Awesome. I'll have it in the
description. Very simple. TikTok, all of that. My website. Yeah.
Awesome. Thank you.
Of course.